Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, and we'll probably go through three sermons in 1 Peter chapter 3 before we return to 1 John. Excuse me. And we will be looking at 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12 acts as an introduction to a large section that follows from 2:13 all the way through 3:17. And so this 2, 11 and 12 tells us the purpose for his instructions in the following passage. And we're going to look at particularly 3:7, which is God's instructions to husbands. This is God's word. This is God's perfect and infallible word. He has given his word to us that we might know him, that we might love him, that we might experience his love, and that we might be instructed in how to live. Hear God's word. 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for your word, and especially we as men who have received the duty to care and love our wives. Lord, we pray that we might take to heart the instructions you give us. Lord, that we might humble our hearts to be open. Teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, first off, I guess, for some of you, I have preached this sermon before. I preached it at Bethel, so some of you may it may be a repeat, but I hope it's a blessing. In 2008, I had the privilege of going to the Philippines with my daughter Emily. She was going to serve as a midwife to the Butbut people in a remote portion of the island of Luzon. And, you know, I wasn't going to just put my daughter on a plane and say, okay, have fun. So I flew over there with her. We took an all-night bus ride while a Category 4 hurricane was going on. And Pam was watching the weather from home. But back into a very remote area. And the Butbut people, we were there in 2008, and just 45 years before that, they had still been embroiled in tribal warfare, in headhunting. Family life was nearly non-existent. Women were treated almost as chattel. And into that environment, a Filipino missionary walked. Now, the Butbut have their own language, but it's related enough to the other Filipino language in that area, that he was able to communicate the gospel to the tribal elders. And I had the privilege of visiting with this man who was still there working. And this is what he said. He said he preached the gospel, and they said, we believe that. What should we do? What an amazing experience as a missionary. And so he set up a church, and he began preaching the gospel, and he was still preaching the gospel 45 years later. And here's what he told me. Little by little, as the gospel sunk into their hearts, tribal warfare came to an end. Headhunting came to an end. Peace was established. And along with these things, their treatment of women was transformed. Families were restored. Men began to learn how to love their wives. You know, men, I bring up this story so we have a sense of what we are up against. In our sinful, fallen state, we as men do not naturally treat women with the honor which is due them, as fellow heirs of the grace of life, with the honor due them as children of God, created in His image, designed by God for your good, for the good of her children, for the good of the church and the world, and most of all, designed to glorify God. You see, the natural man is uncaring, selfish, even brutal. Sinful man naturally takes advantage of his wife for his own desires. He exploits a woman's weakness. But not so with you. You have been born again. You have been made a new creation, washed, sanctified, and called to a new way of life. A new way of honoring your wife. It takes the gospel, and only the gospel will transform your heart in this and really in every area of life. Living as a godly husband is a gospel issue. To the extent that you live by the gospel, by God's love, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and for the glory of God, you will be enabled to live in a godly manner as a husband. But if you cherish sin in your heart, if you hang on to your natural ways, if you don't place your complete trust in Christ, in the pursuit of godliness, then wherever else sin shows up in your life, it will show up here in this most intimate relationship of your life. Here in your marriage, you must live as a redeemed man, bought with the price. You must live by the gospel. You know, and by the way, although Jesus never married a woman in this life, He is the perfect husband. He is the perfect model for your life. He is a bridegroom and He has a bride. Revelation 21, verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. You see, this is a picture of what it will be like in eternity. The church, you and me, as the bride of Christ, living with our husband. Hebrews 12:2. It says of Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. You see, it was a joy for Christ to save His people. It was a joy for Him to endure the wrath, even of the cross. Because of the end, He was drawing a people to Himself. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you valuable in God's eyes? And of course, the answer is absolutely. Does God love you more than you could know? And so do you see the point here? It was not a drudgery for Christ to sacrifice his life for his people. It was his great joy to save you. See, this is how Christ loves his bride. This is what God expects of you as a man. To love your wife like Christ loves the church. To value your wife the way Christ values the church. To take joy in your wife the way Christ takes joy in his church. To sacrifice your life for your wife the way Christ sacrificed his life for his church. Now, do you realize what God has given you in salvation? He hasn't just given you, a ticket to heaven. What God has given you is his very self, so that you might be his and he might be yours. You see, likewise, God expects you to give to your wife your very self in order to live with her. According to knowledge, you must be prepared to give her your very self. Now, let me just emphasize what I said. When we look at the commands of God, the commands that God places upon us, especially as husbands, we must not look just at our weak and sinful hearts. We must look to the goodness of God. You must feel the goodness of God's love toward you in the gospel, so that your love for your wife will be conformed to the image of Christ, and you won't face the discouragement that comes from just looking at your own sinful heart. The point is this: Jesus is our model. Jesus is our inspiration. Jesus is our motivation. And Jesus is the source of all of our help. And this is what 1 Peter 3:7 is about. And we will look at this passage in three points: how to dwell with your wife, the motivation to dwell in this way, and the consequences of not dwelling in this way. Firstly, we consider how to dwell or live with your wife. Now, this passage begins, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. And there is one word that is translated, live with your wives. And, you know, there's a Greek word, katoikeo, which means to live in the same house, to inhabit the same space. But that's not the word used here. The word used here is sunoikeo, and it means to live with your wife in a close, intimate relationship. It means to share lives, not just share space. In Scripture, this word applies only to the close and intimate relationship of a husband and wife. And so the word wife is built right in to the word. This is the fundamental verb and the fundamental command of this verse: to live in a close, intimate, personal relationship with your wife. In other words, to give her your very self. Now, in some ways, we could stop right here, because this alone would go a long way. The rest of this verse is given to us to explain what this phrase means, to live with your wife in a close and intimate relationship. And so we read, in an understanding way. And literally, the phrase is, in accordance with knowledge. And so this phrase explains, live with your wives. You are to live in a close relationship with your wife according to specific knowledge. That is consistent with, guided by, specific knowledge. And so we ask, okay, what specific knowledge? and we look at the next phrase, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. And this is more literally stated, and I put it in your bulletin, in such a way as with the weaker vessel, as with her, as feminine. The Greek word feminine in translation is put into the word woman. But it is definitely a separate word that carries its own weight. Feminine. It means those special characteristics which belong to a woman. And feminine explains the use of weaker. And so we need to not be confused by the word weaker. It does not just mean physically weak, but it means weak in the sense of vulnerable or dependent, literally without power. 1 Corinthians 4:10, Paul says, "We are fools for Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong." Now, I guarantee you that the Apostle Paul was not weak. But he was weak in a particular sense. As he was on his missionary journeys, he came without standing. He was vulnerable. He had no human power to command. He was dependent. And to clarify the use of the word knowledge, understanding, live with your wife according to specific knowledge. It is good and necessary to understand your wife's specific needs, desires, character, how she works. But that's not the point of this verse. The point of this verse is that we are to understand how God created our wives to be uniquely feminine women. It is a matter of God's design. This is the knowledge which this verse commands you to live by, so that you can live in a close and intimate relationship with your wife. And then it says, showing honor. And honor is connected directly to, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. So the reason to show honor to your wife is that she is an heir of the grace of life, created so by God himself. Now, the word translated honor means value. And whenever this word is translated honor, it is always honor deriving from value. In other words, it's not an arbitrary honor. It is honor specifically dictated by the value that God has created in your wife as a feminine woman. In other words, you don't get to determine the value of your wife. God did that by creating her in a specific way, with a specific value worthy of a specific honor. Now, let's just pause here for a minute. Does this describe your life as a husband? Do you study God's word to discern God's design for your wife as a woman? Are you a man that shows honor to your wife? Now, it's important to understand that you must show honor to your wife not only according to your wife's value by God's design, but according to the principle of a husband's duty. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper, fit for him." And the word fit is very interesting. It means basically the matching piece, formed exactly to fit. Now, if the woman is fit for the man, then the man is fit for the woman. Men, your strengths are exactly fit for your wife's vulnerabilities. For every weakness in your wife, God has given you as a man a corresponding duty. Your strengths are to guard, to protect. Men, you were made for your wife just as much as your wife was made for you. And so Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And you notice, a man shall leave, a man shall be joined. Men, God gave you the initiative to leave and be joined to your wife. So thus, as a husband, when you see weaker in this verse, you are to read duty for yourself. Every feminine weakness corresponds to a duty which God has given you. And if you were to look through Scripture, you will see a pattern of commands that God gives to men to protect women. And we're going to look at a few of these areas where God has created women with vulnerabilities that are to call out duties in you. And clearly the first area of weakness is a physical weakness. God has made the woman weaker physically. And God intends that this weakness call forth your duty to protect her. Strength is not a means to control, coerce, or harm. It is your means to guard and protect your wife. Men are soldiers. Men protect their homes. And this is clear in God's commandments to Israel. You know, John Piper once put it this way. He says, you know, if there's a sound downstairs, and it might be a robber, you don't say to your wife, it's your turn, I checked last time. No, you get up, you go down, and you protect your home and your wife. You go up against the enemy first, and woe to the men who send their wives and daughters into battle. I was encouraged the other day. I saw a man with his family crossing a parking lot, and here come two stray dogs running right at them. And instantly, this man stood between those dogs and his family, and with a mighty command and going after him, he sent those dogs attacking. Your duty as a protector uniquely encourages and enables your wife to live and prosper as a feminine woman. Her energies can be put to love and nurturing. She can be tender in her care and soft. And that brings up really a second area of weakness, vulnerability, which is the temperament as a nurturer that God has given to women. God has made your wife to care for others, to have a heart that goes out to the weak and the poor. In Proverbs 31, verse 20, it says of the virtuous woman, she extends her hand to the poor, yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. And by the way, did you ever notice in Proverbs 31, that Proverbs 31:9, King Lemuel pleads the cause of the poor. You see, he pleads the cause of the poor, but his wife extends her hand. And you see the personal, feminine touch. I was once studying in a large church in Fort Collins, and they have a coffee shop, and they open up their building. And so it's more pleasant music, so it's a nicer place to go sometimes. And One time I was there and I saw a woman helping a severely disabled man in a wheelchair to grind coffee for their coffee shop. And here was a woman speaking oh so tenderly and gently to this man who could barely speak. He could smile, and he did, and it was clear. See, she was helping this man to feel useful. And it wasn't efficient, but it was loving. And I thought, here is the heart of a woman. And I was glad to live in a place that gave room for caring for the helpless. And it was an honor just to witness such tender, loving care. You know, not that men can't help others, but to be honest, this is the realm where women shine. In our family, Pam and I did care for both of Pam's parents and for my mom in the last years of their life. And I know some of you know the trials and the struggles of that time. And you know, I helped, but my wife was the hero of the story. And so you know the tremendous role that women play in the day-to-day, mundane, often thankless care. Did you notice that it was the women that went to the tomb to care for Jesus' body? See, God made women to nurture, to care for others. He gave them the emotional temperament so that their hearts and their hands go out. And I hope you see how vulnerable, in a real sense, perhaps weak, this makes women. And how easy it is for uncaring men and unfeeling men to take advantage of this temperament. To look only to themselves, to forget their duty, to surround their wives with a stable, loving relationship. And so I ask, men, do you provide for your wife as she cares for children, for the elderly, and as she cares for those in need? Do you care for her? Do you love and appreciate her gifts? Do you praise her abilities? Are you thankful? And importantly, are you willing to work alongside of her? Or do you simply send her off to do the dirty work? Every vulnerability in the feminine nature is there because God has given the world a blessing. And likewise, God has given you a corresponding duty to love and protect and provide for her in those blessings. And let me just say, this weakness should call forth in you a gentleness with your wife. There's also the role of mother, closely related to her role as a nurturer. And, you know, I love my children, and I loved my children when they were little, but there can be no doubt that God gave to women the role of mother. She carries her children in her womb. She nurses her infants day and night. She wipes away the tears, gives hugs and kind words. And as she is there throughout her child's early vulnerable years. And she prays for her child all her life long. See, God made women's heart to attach to her children, to be wrapped up in their hurts, their pains, their successes and failures. You know, I love to look at Hannah's prayer as she pours out her heart pleading with God for a son. You know, it's good for husbands to show up at piano recitals, soccer games, these kinds of things. And when you do, you will notice, usually, that not one mom is missing. And I hope you see the vulnerabilities that women carry as mothers. It is usually men that abandon their families, that retreat into their work, that leave their wives to the struggles, to the trials, to the tiredness of raising children. And so I ask again, are you thankful for your wife as a mother? Have you stopped to think about how vulnerable her role as mother makes her? Do you love and support her as she cares for your children? Do you appreciate her gifts and abilities? Do you instruct your children to honor their mother? And are you willing to help? I'm especially thankful for my son-in-law, both my son-in-laws, who make a special effort to give my daughters as their wives times of refreshing where they can go off and be with other women, be by themselves, and be refreshed. And I will say that the trend of young men postponing marriage till later in life does not do young women any favors. It is a great disservice. And I'm not sure that young men today fully grasp the duty that they have to their future wives. Next, and of course, God made your wife to be a wife. And this is the fourth area of vulnerability in her role as wife. Genesis 2:18 again, the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now, let that just soak in for a minute. It is not good for you to be alone. And what a blessing it is that God has made a helper perfectly fit for you as a man. And I want you to think about the vulnerabilities and what I'll call the positional weakness which God has given a woman as a wife. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. See, wives are called to submit to their own husbands. Men, you are the leader of your wife and your home. You establish the tone and the direction for your family. The duty falls to you. Now look with me again at Proverbs 31. And we often think of Proverbs 31 as describing the virtuous woman, and it does. But I want you to see that the Proverbs 31 woman is matched to the Proverbs 31 man. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, or your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink. Skipping down to verse 8, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. You see, King Lemuel is not just out chasing wine and women. He has the duties of a king to look after. He is not going to pursue those things that destroy kings. He is a king who looks after widows and orphans and all those who don't have a voice for themselves. He is a righteous judge, and he is concerned for the poor and the needy. And so it's no wonder that such a man is matched to such a woman that's called the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. A woman who extends her hand to the poor, who reaches out to the needy. You see, this is the very characteristic of King Lemuel himself. It's how he rules his kingdom. And so the point is this. When your wife is called to submit to you in all things, she is called into your life to be your helper. You are the man and the leader. And you see, if you lead in a small and a selfish life, then that's the kind of life that you will call your wife into. If you lead in a large and a generous life, full of family, friends, full of caring for the poor and the needy, full of God's people, full of the gospel, then you will call your wife into that kind of life. You see, if you care only about yourself, your wife may lead a godly life, but it will be in spite of you. You know, in the extreme, we can consider Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias went in and lied to the Holy Spirit. He led his wife right with him. And God struck them both dead. And I hope you see the vulnerable position that this places your wife into. Not only is she subject to your neglect and self-centered demands, but her calling is to be a helper. And that calling calls her into your vision and passion in life. And so, man, how can you honor your wife in her positional vulnerability of role? You must lead a life that is worthy of the gospel. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So the question is, does that describe your life? In one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. And you see, this verse does not just mean lead home Bible study. It does mean that, but it means something bigger. It means that your home is structured around God's word. It means that your home is a place of ministry, of hospitality. It means that your home is directed by God. You see, and then you will call your wife into this kind of home and into this kind of life. This should describe your life, and it should be by your initiative, out of your love for God and your love for your wife. Now, one more area of vulnerability in this era of couples living together, of college hookups, of internet pornography, we must consider our duty as men to honor our wives in the intimacy of marriage. You see, it is not by mistake that Matthew 5:28 is directed to men. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. From ancient times, the baser nature of the natural man has exploited women. You may know that 70% of young people live together today to try each other out. You may realize that the views of internet pornography reach into the billions. We live in a culture that is reverting to the pagan abuse of women. I was reading the writings of one woman, Summer Yeager, and she said, and she's of course not the only one, of the loose behavior of today's men with women. She calls violence against women, and she is right. It is not protecting as a man should be. And for young men, that's of your future wives as well. But God says, not so with you. 1 Corinthians 6:11, you have been washed, sanctified, justified. You must be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. Husbands, God has made your wife a blessing. And that those blessings come with vulnerabilities. She is subject to your sensitivity and to your fidelity. So the command is this: live in a close relationship with your wife and with her alone. Now, let me just summarize these with a discussion of the words weaker vessel. Weaker vessel. You know, God could have inspired any kinds of words. He could have said the weaker partner, the weaker gender, but he said weaker vessel. Why did he do that? You know, the most common use of this word is for the vessels that were used in the temple sacrifices. But sometimes this word is applied to people. And whenever this word is applied to people, it always has a sense of what God has poured into a life. There are vessels of mercy. There are vessels of wrath. And the picture is this: your wife is a vessel into which God has poured a vast array of blessings so that she can pour out those blessings on you, your children, on the church, and on the world. And how empty life would be, and how beautiful it is, the special blessings that come from the feminine, from those things that belong particularly to a woman. You see, and by God's wisdom, by God's design, these blessings come with vulnerabilities. And it is by God's design that He has designed you as a man, fit to guard and protect and to love and honor your wife precisely in these vulnerabilities. And this is what it means to live with your wife in a close, intimate relationship according to the specific knowledge of how God has created her to be a feminine woman. Now, secondly, we want to look briefly at why must we live in this way? And this point takes us to the phrase, heirs together of the grace of life. And so what does this mean? Well, for one main thing, it means Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Your wife is of equal value in standing with you before God. God has destined men and women for an eternity before Him. But there is another reason that you must live in this way, and it comes from the word at the beginning of the verse, likewise. Husbands, likewise, meaning in the same manner, in the same way. And this points all the way back to the verse that I read from chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. And as I mentioned, the whole section from 2:13 all the way to 3:17 is a conclusion from these two verses. That whole passage has to do with how Christians must live before God and before the watching world in order to glorify God in the day of visitation. And thus, it has to do with how Christians must live in order to bring the unsaved into the kingdom of Christ. In other words, this is much bigger than you. It is bigger than your wife. It is bigger than your marriage. It is about the glory of God and the eternal salvation of sinners. And so we ask, men, is your heart's desire to glorify God and to bring the lost into the kingdom? Then honor your wives in this way. Now, the last phrase of this verse tells us the consequence of not living this way. It says that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, I don't know about you, but this is one verse that can put the fear of God into me. To have my prayers hindered, to have a barrier between me and my Lord and Savior, is a serious matter indeed. And it is meant to communicate to you and to me just how seriously God takes our duty to honor our wives, to care for her. The duty that He has given you as a husband to protect and love your wife. You see, your wife is God's daughter. She is adopted into His family. She belongs to Him. And it is a serious matter to care for what belongs to God. And men, may I remind you of Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, to conclude, let me just ask again. What kind of man are you? What does your relationship with your wife look like? Are you loving and kind? Devoted to honoring your wife as God has designed her? And, you know, ladies, this is a verse directed at husbands. But oh, how wonderful it is that God has designed you to pour out such blessings on your husband, on your family, on the church, and on the world. Now, I don't know if you've seen the movie Chariots of Fire. And it's one of our favorites. But it's about Eric Little. And he is the man that refused to run in the Olympics on Sunday. And at one point in that movie, he is talking about his call to be a missionary to China. But he's also looking at his desire to run in the Olympics. And he says this. He says, God made me for China, but He also made me fast. And he says, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. You see, he feels God's pleasure because he is using the gifts that God is giving him. Now, men, when your wife is able to live as God has created her, when she is pouring out the blessings which God has poured into her, when she runs as a wife, she will feel God's pleasure. And by His grace, He has given you a role in her life that your strengths, your abilities to love and guard and protect and care for her are fit to her vulnerabilities. Now, finally, who is sufficient for these things? And, of course, not one of us. And so, again, in your marriage, as a husband, you must live your life by the gospel. You must live in the grace of God to unworthy sinners. You must live in dependence upon Him who gives you new life. The point is this: Christ is your justification. Christ is your sanctification. Christ is your motivation. Christ is your model. Christ shows you the way to love as he loves his bride. Christ is, in every way, your life. Amen. Let us pray. Father, your designs are perfect in every way. And you have created us, male and female, by your design, fit together. And Lord, that we, as husbands especially, might care and love, protect and honor our wives according to the way that you have created her. In Jesus' name, amen.